Take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man.
Well, on the earth.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokats and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Tuesday, April 12th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. So glad to be here with you, live and direct from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. My last couple days here in Potland before I hit the road on the major 2016 marijuana legalization tour. I'm going all across the country, folks, and I'd really love to meet you as I go across this great land of ours. We'll be at the Blazers versus Nuggets game tomorrow, and I'll be streaming live from the pre-party at Refuge PDX. We'll get a chance to talk to, we hope, some NBA players like Cliff Robinson and whoever else might show up. So make sure you tune in live on Cannabis Radio tomorrow for that show at 3 o'clock Pacific. And then I'm on a jet plane on my way to Washington, D.C. to cover the SSDP conference, and then New York City to cover Mark Klein's summit and the United Nations General Assembly. Then we catch another plane, make our way back to Eugene for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. That's coming up on April 24th. It's a Sunday at the Eugene Hilton. And joining us today at half past in our Cannabusiness Chronicles, we've got Alex Rogers. He's the man behind the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, and he'll be there to tell us all about the conference. It's really exciting. We've got a celebrity interview with Tommy Chong, a great sit-down interview you'll be able to enjoy, as well as Dr. Carl Hart from Columbia University will be speaking the keynote address at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. There's been a lot of changes here in Oregon with recreational marijuana, medical marijuana, a lot of bills that have been passed in the past couple of sessions. If you are interested in cannabis in Oregon, this will be the event to attend. It's one day. You can get it all in one day, and some of the state's leading experts will be there. Alex will be here at half past to tell us more. Plus, there's also all sorts of great socializing that goes on at this event, too. So we'll tell you all about that coming up in the Cannabis Chronicles. Then at the Radical Rant portion of the show, the end of the show, I actually get to take a break. I don't have to rant because we've got a guest joining us who's going to do a little ranting for me, although he's not as ranty as I am. He likes to approach things in a more calm fashion. It's John Hudak from the Brookings Institute will be joining us to talk about their latest paper they've put out, The Medical Marijuana Mess, A Prescription to Fix a Broken Policy. I'm usually the one that gets in trouble for calling medical marijuana a mess, so it's nice to have someone else on the show that will take some slings and arrows for me. John Hudak joins us at 45 past on the hour today's show. Also coming up on the show, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the new changes in Florida's very limited medical marijuana law and some of the jockeying that's going on amongst the very limited set of producers that are allowed to work within the confines of that law. But that all comes after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got some international news for you from Paris, France, where a minister had called for a selective lifting of prohibition. We've got news from Melbourne, Australia, where medical marijuana has finally taken root in the down under, I guess. In Providence, Rhode Island, we've got at least 10 bills about marijuana that are being discussed today. Phoenix, Arizona, we got news on the campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. Orlando, Florida might surprise us all by decriminalizing marijuana, just in time for me to go there in May. In Denver, we've got a new kind of license for marijuana couriers being discussed, and two small towns that are suburbs of Chicago could be voting on marijuana legalization if a meeting turns out well tonight in those two towns. We'll give you the details on that and more coming up on the Russ Belville Show. And then stay tuned for Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio. We'll take your calls, and you can be the voice of the marijuana nation. We're back in 2 minutes. Stick around.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Every strain, every sale, every medical study. Keep it right here on the Cannabis Radio Network.
Great websites today need expert web design and development and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
Tommy Chong is ready to cut through the smoke and change the tone of Tilk Radio.
You know, during Dance with the Stars, I started feeling discomfort.
Yeah.
And not only that, I was doing these old man smells. And it was kind of embarrassing because, you know, all the Dancing with the Stars crew, cast and crew, you know, they're all young kids.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden, this old guy would come along and do one of those silent farts, you know, that you don't know you're doing it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you smell, and everybody go, what the hell smells? And, you know, and you knew it was me. And so I'd scurry off to the bathroom, you know, and that's when I knew that there was something wrong.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome to my world.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. Paris, France. Socialist lawmakers in France are rebuking a fellow minister who criticized the country's prohibition of marijuana as ineffective and called for, quote, a selective lifting of prohibition for adults, end quote. Parliamentary Relations Minister Jean-Marie Le Guen insisted that cannabis use was bad for public health, quote, particularly for young people, end quote, but that, quote, prohibition has not led to a decrease in consumption, end quote. One minister from the left said enacting Le Guen's ideas would show, quote, we have let our guard down in the fight against drugs, end quote, while a former prime minister on the right said, quote, legalization of cannabis would be an extremely permissive signal to send to young people, end quote. Cannabis has been prohibited in France since 1970, yet a World Health Organization survey of 42 wealthy nations showed that 15% of French 15-year-olds have used marijuana, the most in the survey, beating out Canada. But the United States was not included. Melbourne, Australia. The Australian state of Victoria became the first in the country to legalize medical marijuana following a vote today by the local government. But this won't be a whole plant medical marijuana like found in many U.S. states. The government will license very strictly regulated producers of cannabis, which will then be manufactured into non-smokable cannabinoid products. Children with epilepsy are expected to be the first to benefit from the law sometime in 2017. Providence, Rhode Island. Today, the Rhode Island House Judiciary Committee meets to discuss a bill that would legalize marijuana for adults 21 and older. But lawmakers will also consider other marijuana-related bills that include one to add post-traumatic stress as a qualifying condition for the Ocean State's medical marijuana program and create a fast-track process to get medical marijuana to hospice patients. Other bills make changes to the medical marijuana program and prohibit the home manufacture of solvent concentrates. Phoenix, Arizona, the campaign to regulate marijuana-like alcohol announced Tuesday that it has collected more than 200,000 signatures in support of a proposed initiative to end marijuana prohibition in Arizona. The campaign needs to collect 150,642 valid signatures of registered Arizona voters to qualify the initiative for the November ballot. The proposed initiative would allow adults 21 and older to possess limited amounts of marijuana, establish a system in which marijuana is regulated similarly to alcohol, and enact a 15% tax on retail marijuana sales, from which a majority of the revenue would be directed to Arizona schools and public education programs. Orlando, Florida. Orlando may become the latest Florida jurisdiction to decriminalize the personal possession of marijuana. Next Monday, the city council will take up a proposal to reduce the punishment for possession of up to 20 grams of marijuana from a misdemeanor to a violation of city code, earning the first-time offender a $50 fine and no criminal record. The fine doubles for a second offense, and a third offense requires an appearance in court. Tampa recently decriminalized possession, as has the counties of Volusia, Broward, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach. The punishment for possession of marijuana misdemeanor under the state law is a $1,000 fine and up to 1 year in jail. Denver, Colorado, a first-of-its-kind license for marijuana couriers is nearing approval in Colorado. The State House gave preliminary approval to creating a new marijuana transporter license under the pot regulating agency. Colorado already has 12 marijuana courier companies which fill out shipping manifests to move pot from growing warehouses to store shelves. The couriers are currently classified as marijuana vendors, a broad category which includes other ancillary services. The new license would give those couriers additional powers, such as temporarily storing pot if an unexpected snowstorm closes a highway. Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. Citizens in the suburbs of Chicago could be voting on the legalization of marijuana if voters tonight at two small obscure town meetings to place non-binding public policy questions on the ballot. The advisory question is, quote, should the state of Illinois legalize and regulate the sale and use of marijuana in a similar fashion as the state of Colorado, end quote, and whether it is placed on the November ballot in these two Illinois townships will be decided by a majority who attends the 6 p.m. meeting in Cunningham Township, Urbana, and the 7 p.m. town meeting in Champaign. Pro-marijuana supporters are expected to turn out to these annual meetings that usually only attract the city officials required to attend. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Tuesday, April 12, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
We have your smoking section right here. This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Dr. Dabber, hurry! Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy. It's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct! Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
It's time for cannabis facts about Alzheimer's from Robert Platshorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may in fact be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, firedublawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news. in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we take a look at the state of Florida, where a new law has been passed to expand the very limited medical marijuana that exists in Florida. Florida is one of those southern states that have passed the CBD-only laws. This came about in 2014. This was the, CBD-only, meaning the non-euphoric oil, non-smoked marijuana, very low in THC, for usually the kids with epilepsy, the severe epilepsy. But it also was legalized for severe muscle spasms or cancer under this Florida law. Now, there's also been a call for production of this CBD oil. And Florida, unlike some of these other southern states, was supposed to be moving forward with some sort of production here. It authorized nurseries that have been in business for 30 years and grow at least 400,000 plants to apply for one of five dispensing organization licenses to produce the high CBD cannabis plants. Well, it was met with opposition right from the get-go based on those criteria. Having been in business for 30 years and growing 400,000 plants locked out the black owners of nurseries in Florida who don't have 30 years worth of ownership in some of their businesses. So that was a scandal right from the beginning, seemed a bit racist in the way it was keeping people, certain people, out of this process. But even then, it was very slow going on getting those licenses out. The health officials selected five nurseries to be the first dispensary organizations just this last November. Now we've got a situation where the law has been upgraded, and the new standard there in Florida is that terminally ill patients can qualify for full strength medical marijuana, they call it, which is, you know, regular old medical marijuana with THC, if they're terminally ill, under this law that allows access to experimental drugs for the terminally ill. So now we've got a whole new set of problems happening in the state of Florida. A week ago, the Department of Health granted one of these licenses to a nursery called San Felasco Nurseries. And this was because health officials wrongly disqualified this grower. There was a challenge by McCrory's Sunny Hill Nursery, which was already challenging for a license. And the new challenge is that one of the winners, which was Knox Nursery, received a score that was 1/1,000th of a percent greater. And so they got the license. And he is suing that under one of the scoring categories, he should have gotten a higher score, and that would have led to an overall, you know, beating that 1/1,000th of a percent. Now, this is, again, a reflection of prohibitionist thinking in limiting these dispensaries so strictly, having such high hurdles for these businessmen to have to clear just to be even able to qualify. And then there only being five of them to produce for a state of what? What is there, 20 million people in Florida, something like that? It leads to this unnatural sort of capitalism, this predatory sort of capitalism, and it grinds the gears of this bureaucracy to a halt as they try to fairly administer these precious few licenses that are available. It's my hope that the medical marijuana amendment in Florida, that's Amendment 2 again this year, they got the same number, will pass and render a lot of these questions moot, because it contains within it a regulatory structure that would allow for much more production of medical marijuana throughout the state. It would be a much closer example of hewing to some sort of free market for medical marijuana. And as the state continues to drag its feet on what has been passed legislatively, I believe that can only motivate more Florida voters to want to vote for the initiative, feeling that, look, we gave the legislature a shot. We let them try to do it in the deliberative, bureaucratic fashion, and it's been a failure. And people have continued to suffer, and kids have continued to have seizures while these lawmakers can't get a handle on how to license a few people to grow some marijuana. Meanwhile, there are millions, well, hundreds of people in Florida, thousands perhaps, that are growing marijuana right now. Why does this have to be so difficult? Do the right thing, Floridians. Make sure you're registered to vote. And vote yes on Amendment 2. Legalize medical marijuana in the state of Florida. Please!
All we want to do is pump you up.
All right, thanks, Hans and Franz. It's time for us to take a break. It's 4:20 in the Mountain Time Zone. So happy 4:20 to our friends in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, and Albuquerque, New Mexico, and that may be all the Taos, New Mexico. That might be all the New Mexico towns I can think of off the top of my head. Be back in two.
Earn your PhD in THC monetization with CannabisRadio.com. Don't be late.
Great websites today need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolut, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
I'm Radical Russ from the Russ Belleville Show.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson.
Far more damage has been done to people by the current approach.
Jim McMahon.
You know, a lot of the coaches are old school. You know, he used to just yell at us, go, oh, you bunch of pot smokers.
John Popper on the telephone.
You know, I think in the 60s, there was that kind of, the bigotry wasn't so concrete.
It's the Russ Belleville Show, the NPR of POT, weekdays live at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, exclusively on CannabisRadio.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belleville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Data Mines, we take a look at the unfolding state of marijuana legalization all across this great country of ours. 2016 legalization tour. I'll be traveling from coast to coast promoting the end of adult marijuana prohibition. And here is what is on the menu. First of all, for national marijuana legalization initiatives, Nevada is already on the ballot and it's got a pretty good chance to pass. There's not much polling there, but it is likely to pass. And the state legislators there have embraced and expanded medical marijuana over the recent years. California, great chance to make the ballot and a pretty good chance to pass. It's, of course, the big prize, like in every national election. The Adult Use of Marijuana Act has the backing of the major drug policy reform orgs and, of course, billionaire Sean Parker, so he'll have the money to collect all the signatures they need to make the ballot. Recent polling shows about 55% of Californians generally support legalization. Massachusetts, I think there's a good chance to make the ballot and a good chance to pass. This is the MPP Crimla campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol. They passed decrim in 2008 in Massachusetts and medical in 2012. Both of those got over 60% of the vote. It could be closer in 2016 with legalization. Recent polls are showing just above a 50% average support for legalization there. In Arizona, they've got a MPP-backed Crimla. I think it has a good chance to make the ballot and a questionable chance as to whether it passes.
It's got anti-marijuana zealots there, and the support so far is only a 45% plurality. 45% who support legalization, 42% who support medical, 13% who think marijuana ought to be completely illegal. That's in an Arizona State poll. Arizona State University, I should say. In Maine, there is a fourth MPP-backed Kremla with a questionable chance to make the ballot, but a great chance to pass if it does. This week, or last week, I should say, the Maine judge reversed the decision on disqualifying 17,000 signatures. Those will be reviewed, and if they enough of them are valid, that will almost surely allow the Marijuana Policy Project Kremla to make the ballot there. A 2015 poll showed almost two-thirds of Mainers support marijuana legalization, so a very good chance to pass there. And then in Michigan, a slim chance to make the ballot, but a good chance to pass if they do. A grassroots group there is called Comprehensive Cannabis Law Reform Initiative Committee. Their banner is MI Legalize, like Michigan Legalize. And they claim to have raised over 600,000 and 260,000 signatures, but they need to get 253,000 signatures, and so they'll need many more to deal with the problem of invalid signatures. And the Michigan legislature recently changed the rules on signature gathering that calls a lot of their existing signatures into question. But if they make the ballot, 53% of Michiganders currently support marijuana legalization. So that's six states that might have marijuana legalization on the ballot. One of those already does have it on the ballot. If they all made the ballot and win, we would have 10 U.S. states with marijuana legalization. There would be 84 million Americans in those states, and that would be 25%, a little over 25% of the population. One out of four Americans would live in a legal marijuana state if they all passed. Now, there are other state legalization initiatives. There are MCLR in California. There's Arizonans for Mindful Reform in Arizona. There's the Missouri Cannabis Restoration Protection Act. And they all, as they say in sports, have a mathematical shot at the playoffs. Unfortunately, some of those same activists in California, Arizona, Missouri, and Massachusetts, for that matter, are vowing to defeat the other initiatives that are likely to make the ballot. So we got to keep our eye on that. For medical marijuana initiatives, we've got Florida. It's on the ballot, and it has a great chance to pass. Its recent polls show about 65% support. In Ohio, there's a good chance to make the ballot and a great chance to pass, even though they defeated legalization last year by almost a 2-1 margin. During that, they polled and found 3 out of 4 Ohioans support medical marijuana. MPP's taking the lead there with the Ohioans for Medical Marijuana group, and they're already past their first initial hurdle with the Attorney General's office to go forth and gather signatures. With the funding they'll get, they got a good chance of making the ballot. In Missouri, there's a slim chance to make the ballot, but a good chance to pass. Drug Policy Alliance has donated $50,000 to help New Approach Missouri gather signatures with the medical marijuana initiative in the Show Me State, but there's only 30 days remaining for petitioning, and they've only collected 58% of the 256,000 signature goal they need. But if they got on the ballot, 64% of Missourians are in favor. If you add these three states to the current 23 states in Washington, D.C. that recognize medical use, there'd be 186 million Americans in those states, or over 58% of the population. In Pennsylvania, if they get their act together and manage to pass the Medical Marijuana Act there, and you add that to those other states, we'd have 27 of them, and there'd be medical marijuana in over 62% of the population would be in those states, over 200 million almost 200 million Americans. And then as far as legalization, we told you the story of Rhode Island. They're discussing a legalization bill tonight in their House Judiciary Committee. So Rhode Island was working on a legislative legalization. Vermont, it's kind of stalled on its legalization in the House, but the Senate has favored it, so it's working forward there. And we've got other states that have tried and killed their medical marijuana bills, unfortunately. Nebraska, Kentucky, South Carolina, Tennessee, and West Virginia are not moving forward with their medical marijuana bills. We'll be covering the 2016 marijuana election all this year on Cannabis Radio News and the Russ Belville Show here on CannabisRadio.com. Join us on Marijuana Election Night Live, Tuesday, November 8th, 2016. It'll be my fifth straight live election night for you. We're back in two with Alex Rogers.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Forwarding the cause of legalization and research of the growing cannabis industry, one podcast at a time. The Cannabis Radio Network.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles.
Today in the Cannabis Business Chronicles, we are taking a look at the upcoming Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. It will be happening on April 24th here in Eugene, Oregon, at the Eugene Hilton downtown. And Alex Rogers from the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference will be joining us in just a minute here on the telephone. But I'll preview this a little bit for you to give you an idea, because I have covered and been a part of Alex's conferences, both the Oregon conference and the international conference. And I can tell you that these are top of the world events. These are certainly international class events as far as the quality of people that you will be interacting with and the quality of information that you will get from the speakers. And the networking couldn't be better as well. You won't be inundated by some massive, noisy expo atmosphere. There's 40 exhibitors, so you can have time to see them all and interact with them very closely and do the networking that you need to do to move your business forward without feeling pressured to have to visit 500 different booths that might be on some big, loud expo floor. So that's one aspect of this that I always find very useful. And the other aspect of the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference is the scheduling of the event. And the main keynote speaker that everyone is looking forward to, the conference begins and ends with the fireworks. It begins with Dr. Carl Hart. And Dr. Carl Hart has become quite the media darling with respect to the war on drugs lately. An unimpeachable background from Columbia University, a neuropsychopharmacologist who's been working in the field for years and has studied more about different drugs than almost anyone else in the country. He will be delivering the keynote at 9 a.m. on Sunday, And you can learn more about this at OregonMBC.com, OregonMBC as in Oregon Marijuana Business Conference.com. And Carl Hart's speech will run for the first hour, 9 a.m. And then at 10 a.m., we have a piece on local ordinances and activism that will feature Leland Berger, who's a cannabis attorney who's argued all the way to the Supreme Court with respect to our marijuana rights and regulations. Sarah Duff and Anthony Johnson from Duff Johnson Consulting. Of course, Anthony was the man who was the chief petitioner of Oregon's legalization law. Sarah Duff, his wife, a consultant who's been working with the medical marijuana industry for over a decade now. They'll be talking about the latest local ordinances that are happening all throughout the state of Oregon, where especially in eastern Oregon, they are coming up with bans and prohibitive zones to try to restrict the unfolding of the marijuana industry. At 11 o'clock, there will be a panel on OLCC licensing and compliance. This panel will feature Nathan Ricks, Amanda Borup, Will Higlin, and it's moderated by Brent Kenyon. This will be all about topics including licensing and requirements for farming, retail, wholesale, manufacturing, and processing, and the brand new micro canopy license that allows medical marijuana growers to supply to the recreational marijuana market while still continuing to care and provide for their patients. There will be a question and answer opportunity as well to get all your answers about these latest changes to the Oregon laws. 12 o'clock will be the lunch break, a perfect time to network and meet others at the event. And then at 1:15, there will be a presentation by Aaron Smith, the director of the National Cannabis Industry Association, to tell us all what's happening with the latest reforms and what are needed in the federal level in Washington, D.C., when it comes to our industry. At 1:30 p.m., we have the mayor of Coquille, Oregon. His name is Matt Rowe. He's Oregon's youngest serving mayor, but he's in his fourth year on the job. He will be discussing the successes he's had in Coquille and push to keep their city council from restricting the marijuana industry in that area of the southern Oregon coast. Matt Rowe, the mayor of Coquille, speaking at 1:30. At 1:45, a legislative update from State Senator Floyd Prezansky, one of the champions of both medical and recreational marijuana in the Oregon legislature. He'll be speaking at 1:45. 2:15, a panel on growers and retailers on how large grow sites are affected by some of the new law changes and how retailers are affected by some of the new ordinances that have been passed. At 3 o'clock, a panel on cannabis processors that includes Leland Berger again to offer the legal perspective, and then Pioneer Pete and Cedar Gray, two well-respected cannabis processors in this industry, to offer their perspective. At 3:45, a panel on testing, labeling, and branding. Bjorn Fritsch and Jeremy Hanlon will be going all over the branding and labeling topics. And then at 4 o'clock, we close the show with the superstar, Tommy Chong, who will sit down for an onstage intimate interview by Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com and Freedom Leaf Magazine. That's a full day that you're going to get that Sunday, April 24th, in Eugene at the Eugene Hilton for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. The website, again, is OregonMBC.com. You can learn more about that and still book your tickets. You can also get a conference ticket for $199, and there's another one for $299, which gives you the conference ticket plus the Saturday night VIP reception with Dr. Carl Hart. This is the VIP reception that will be happening Saturday night from 6 to 8 at the Hilton Sky Lounge, and it kicks off the conference weekend the night before the conference. This is the Saturday night. So if you want to make that VIP reception, it's Saturday night, 6 to 8, where you'll have the chance to hobnob with Dr. Carl Hart. The VIP party happens at the WOW Hall. That's the Workers of the World Hall in Eugene, Oregon, at 8 p.m. on Sunday night. Tommy Chong will be there, and that event is free for all ticket holders. So $199 gets you into everything that's happening on Sunday, from the full day's event all the way through Tommy Chong's celebrity interview and the after party. If you spend the extra $100, you can get into the Saturday night VIP reception with Dr. Carl Hart. All of this, again, can be found at the OregonMBC.com website for the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Tickets are still on sale now at the website and at the locations Jamaica Joel's, Greenerside, TJ Organics, Flower of Life, Northwest Alternative Health, and Ashland Alternative Health. Or you can purchase tickets by phone by dialing 888-920-6076. That's a toll-free number, 888-920-6076. Oregon Marijuana Business Conference at the Eugene Hilton on April 24th, 2016. And if you need to stay, the Hilton has discounted rooms for people that are staying at the hotel. For more information on that, visit the website at OregonMBC.com. Some of the exhibitors that will be appearing there at the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference will include Greenleaf Labs, the National Cannabis Industry Association, Tommy Chong's new venture, Chong Sun Inc., the Russ Belville Show, of course. We will be there covering the event. Evergreen Law Group, the Oregon Sun Grown Growers Guild, CannabisRadio.com, the ArcView Group, and so many more. Sage Analytics, Security Monster, Northwest Alternative Health. These are the people in the state of Oregon who are the pioneers in this marijuana industry. If you want to get involved, if you want to help promote your brand or get your brand involved with these other brands, this will be the place to be. The Oregon Marijuana Business Conference, OregonMBC.com, April 24th, Sunday at the Eugene Hilton. We will be there bringing you coverage on the Russ Belville Show as well. All right, we've got to take a break, and my apologies. Alex did not dial in for our interview. We'll see what happened, and maybe we can get him on the show sometime soon in the future. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, crossing our fingers, we'll have John Hudak from the Brookings Institute dialing in to discuss his new report on the medical marijuana mess, a prescription to fix a broken policy. I'm Radical Russ, live in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. Later tonight, we'll be at the National Cannabis Industry Association Oregon Caucus, and I'll bring you some audio from that event on tomorrow's show. Don't forget to check out RadicalRust.com, my blog, where you can find all my writing from across the web and stuff you can't find anywhere else. We're back with John Hudak in 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Next to THC and CBD, you can now add CBR to your cannabis vernacular. CBR as in CannabisRadio.com.
Northwest Alternative Health, Eugene's premier medical marijuana clinic, is proud to sponsor the Oregon Marijuana Business Conference. Are you prepared for the changes in the recreational and medical marijuana markets? The OMB presents the state's top industry experts, along with over 40 exhibitors, and features a keynote by Dr. Carl Hart. Also, tickets include a celebrity interview and private after party with the one and only Tommy Chong. Join us Sunday, April 24th at the downtown Eugene Hilton and be a part of Oregon's fastest growing industry. Check out OregonMBC.com for more details.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News, presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
The Russ Belville Show, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. It's time.
The time has come to end prohibition of marijuana in Vermont.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for marijuana sales to take place in regulated businesses
and stop taking place in our neighborhoods.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to create rules for testing and labeling marijuana so that consumers can know what they're getting.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time to stop punishing adults for consuming a product that's less harmful than alcohol.
And spend more time addressing serious crimes.
Prohibition has failed.
It's time for a more sensible approach.
S-241 would end prohibition.
And regulate marijuana in Vermont.
We are ready.
We're ready.
We're ready.
Who ready?
We're ready.
Vermont is ready.
Contact a representative now and ask them to support S-241. It's time to end prohibition and regulate marijuana in Vermont.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit neweracpas.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
The best weapon you can have in the Prohibition War is your mind. Fill your head with the knowledge you need by checking out this latest entry in the Russ Belville Show's Reformer's Reader.
Welcome back, everybody. Today in the Reformer's Reader, we get a chance to have another guest that we love to talk to. John Hudak from the Brookings Institute is on the line. John, welcome back to the show. Hello, John. Do we have you on the line? Oh, my goodness. Once again, having some audio difficulties here with our connection. Let me, we'll try to redial John and get him here on the phone from the Brookings Institute talk to him about what's happening with his new report that's entitled The Medical Marijuana Mess, A Prescription for Fixing a Broken Policy. And let's see if we've got John on the line now. John, can you hear me okay out there?
I can.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to have you here. We had some technical difficulties, but it seems like everything's okay. I was introducing people to the thesis of your paper, The Medical Marijuana Mess, but I'm sure you can do a better job than I. Tell people, what is the medical marijuana mess we're in?
So what I'm talking about in my latest Brookings essay is a situation we have in the United States in which the federal government has used Band-Aids to fix what are gaping wounds in public policy, and that is a federal government acknowledgement that medical marijuana programs exist in the United States, and it's very difficult for the federal government to shut down state systems, and a laissez-faire approach has been seen as the proper solution. But the reality is that approach from the Obama administration has created numerous problems facing patients and businesses and accountants and lawyers and regulators all across the United States. And so that fix really isn't a fix.
Some people would argue that the Obama administration at least has been laissez-faire, unlike perhaps another administration, maybe a McCain or a Romney administration, that might have gone whole hog into filing injunctions and sending in the DEA. But do you think that that people don't give enough credit to President Obama in that respect?
I think that's right. I mean, Barack Obama has been the most pro-marijuana reform president we've had in our history. And he's taken steps that have been different than previous presidents and were probably different, as you said, than if Mitt Romney were elected president or John McCain were elected president. But at the end of the day, challenges still exist. And while the Obama administration policies may be something that reform advocates are happy with, there are different steps that could be taken that could clear up what are some very serious federal and state versus federal policy challenges.
I'd imagine that a lot of that you're talking about are the banking problems and the tax problems that are out there. Some of the things that would be addressed by the CARERS Act in the Senate, right?
Yeah, there are issues involving veterans. There are issues involving banking. But general issues around access, general issues around research, the idea that if you live in one state, you might have access to, you know, whole flower marijuana, you might have access to CBD oil, but if you live 5 miles away on the other side of the state border, you have to remain sick. You don't have access to those materials. And that's not how public policy is necessarily supposed to work, and it's something that is really putting people at risk. And so the issues of the banking issues and issues abound for the marijuana industry, but basic patient access is something that oftentimes is overlooked.
Very, very well put. We're speaking with John Hudak from the Brookings Institute. And if people want to get this report of yours online, this white paper, how can they do that?
They can go online to brookings.edu/marijuana mess, and that will take them to not only the marijuana mess essay, but links to a variety of the work that we've been doing over the past several years at Brookings on the topic.
Excellent. Now, with respect to what you are addressing there, would the CARERS Act go a long way into addressing some of these problems, or is there still other areas that need to be tackled?
The CARES Act goes a long way in terms of addressing a lot of the problems that exist with regard to federal policy and with regard to state-federal relations, but there's a lot of work to be done. And so issues involving veterans, where veterans can't go to VA hospitals, even in states with legal medical marijuana programs, and ask for a recommendation. And in fact, if they do ask for a recommendation, or God forbid admit to using medical marijuana illegally, oftentimes they face some real repercussions from the VA system. It also helps fix tax issues. It helps essentially empower states that have taken a step forward in terms of marijuana reform to maintain their state system, but also have some version of federal protection under the system. It doesn't force states that have marijuana as an illegal substance to opt in, but it allows those states who have chosen to opt in to have broader protection.
Sounds like some great policy recommendations, folks. You can learn more at brookings.edu/marijuana mess. And John, another headline that went all across the mass media this past week was the DEA indicating that before the middle of 2016 is over, they'll make an announcement on rescheduling petitions. First of all, do you see rescheduling as something that can have a major impact on this marijuana mess? And second of all, do you really think they're going to do anything different other than just kick the can down the road?
So on the first point, you know, there are many in the reform community who think of rescheduling as something that won't matter or something that might empower big pharma or too small of a step to be worth the effort. The reality is, I think for many reform advocates, any means by which the federal government is going to signal that they're changing their tune, that they're listening to the medical and scientific communities, and that they're willing to expand research, has to be seen as a win on their behalf. And so rescheduling is going to help researchers answer some of the questions that exist out there around the efficacy of marijuana in therapeutic use. And that basis in itself has been what the federal government has used to deny marijuana status as a drug for decades. And so if you can start to answer those questions, I think you can start to break down talking points, which in and of itself has some value. Now, as to the question of whether the DEA is ready to do this, the DEA, I think, is loath to reschedule marijuana, but they're also currently facing a rapidly changing public opinion landscape, a rapidly changing scientific community, and frankly, they recognize that if they don't change, the country is going to change without them. And so now is probably the best time there has ever been in the policy world to see DEA make this change. But I'll be convinced of it when they finally make that announcement.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. Now, you also made a brief mention that we have federal issues to deal with and then also federal-state issues to deal with. What are some of the conflicts federal-state-wise that are part of this marijuana mess?
Well, a lot of the banking issues exist in this federal-state space. And so states have made efforts to give banks cover or to set up co-ops or credit unions or other types of institutions that can allow cannabis enterprises to have access to basic financial products like checking accounts or savings accounts or business loans. But at the end of the day, these institutions are still regulated by the Federal Reserve, or they're still trafficking in banknotes, which are Federal Reserve banknotes. And so most of the states that have tried this have failed. And so banking is a big deal. Taxes are another big deal. Cannabis enterprises, for the most part, are not able to write off the standard business taxes that any other business in the United States would be allowed to do. And those are issues that even when states make reforms, the federal government is setting up roadblocks to allow these businesses to function in a normal way. And, I mean, there are enforcement issues, there are regulatory issues, there are product safety issues, but the federal government could play a much more major role in helping states regulate and run their own systems. And right now, they're just sort of whistling and letting everything happen outside of their, not control, but their ability to influence the process in a positive way.
So the state of Oregon here, Governor Kate Brown just recently signed a bill that made changes to Oregon's banking laws with respect to marijuana industry. But these laws being passed right now, are they just symbolic in nature? They make us feel good, but they're not really going to help until the feds do something?
Yeah, there are a lot of states that have made these efforts. Colorado has, Governor Brown now has in Oregon, and others have as well. And each of them is a bit of a test case. It's trying to see how will not only the federal government respond, but how will financial institutions respond. So far, financial institutions have not responded well to these efforts because at the end of the day, they're trafficking in CYA public policy too. They don't want to get shut down. They don't want their assets frozen. And even though the banking industry is a risky enterprise, when it comes to cannabis, bankers are risk averse. And so no one has really cracked the code yet. The code gets cracked when the federal government reforms in this area. And until then, these piecemeal efforts just haven't been that successful.
John Hudak is from the Brookings Institute, and the paper is The Medical Marijuana Mess, A Prescription for Fixing a Broken Policy. And you can get that at brookings.edu/marijuana mess. And before we let you go here at the top of the hour, John, with Marco Rubio dropping out of the presidential race, we no longer have any candidates who are vociferously anti-marijuana. I mean, we get Ted Cruz and Donald Trump with kind of let's have a states' rights attitude toward it. Hillary Clinton has a rescheduling attitude. Bernie Sanders has a descheduling attitude. But how much can the president, no matter who it is, affect these changes that you need to recommend, that you're recommending in your report?
Well, the president has huge influence. You know, right now the federal position on marijuana exists because of a memo out of the Justice Department. Well, that memo in some ways functions like an executive order. The next president could reverse that in an instant, and the entire House of Cards can collapse. What we have now with the five presidential candidates left in place, Cruz, Kasich, Trump, Sanders, and Clinton, are people who are, at a minimum, happy with the Obama policy. They're not going to take a step backwards, and there are a lot of reasons why that's true. But for the first time in American history, you have a slate of presidential candidates who are essentially signaling to the country, if you're a marijuana reformer, things will not get worse. They'll either stay the same, or I, as president, will make things better for your community. And it shows a maturity in cannabis policy. It shows that even presidential candidates have to talk about cannabis not as a pun, not as a punchline, but as public policy. And that's a tremendous advance when we look back at where this policy area was 5, 10, 15 years ago.
John Hudak from the Brookings Institute. We always like having you on the show. Thanks for joining us, and good luck on everything you have going.
Hey, Russ. Thanks a lot for having me back.
Good. Check it out. Brookings.edu, /marijuana mess, and you can get that information. And folks, that's all the time we got here for hour one. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for hour two. Toker Talk Radio's next. We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ, live in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed.